In for a Peso, In for a Pound, Chapter 4, by Sue N., read by CookieMom6067. Early the next morning, Chris sat outside the jail, cradling a cup of coffee in his hands and frowning thoughtfully as he stared down the street. J.D. was standing out in front of the livery stable, engaged in what looked to be a lively conversation with Tiny the stable hand. Both men were gesturing wildly, and as Chris watched, J.D. whipped his bowler off his head and ran his fingers through his long, thick hair in a familiar gesture of frustration. Then he said something to Tiny, jabbing the man in the chest with a forefinger, and Tiny bowed his head, his thick shoulders slumping. His interest piqued. Chris drained the remains of his coffee in one swallow, then set the cup aside and rose to his feet, heading down the boardwalk for the livery. From the corner of his eye, J.D. saw the glimmer of black and turned his head to see Larrabee approaching. "Oh, shit," he groaned as his stomach clenched in dread. Then, turning back to Tiny, he glared at the man and said harshly, "You gotta tell him. If you don't, I will." Tiny stared past the young sheriff to the approaching gunfighter and swallowed rapidly, repeatedly, his Adam's apple working furiously. Larrabee. Jesus, it would have to be Larrabee. At least Tanner wasn't with him. He might just have time to leave town. "Morning, J.D., Tiny," Chris greeted in a low, calm voice, easily picking up on the tension between the two. "There a problem here?" Tiny looked up at the gunman and swallowed again, his stomach churning sickly. He'd never considered himself a coward, wasn't a man who feared much at all, but Chris Larrabee could strike terror into the heart of a stone, especially when he was pissed. And what Tiny had to tell him now would likely carry Larrabee straight past piss and right into murder. Chris leveled a piercing green stare at the short, broad man, his face betraying not a hint of emotion. "You and J.D. seem to be having a heated talk." A blonde brow flicked upward. "There's something I should know?" J.D. watched Larrabee with fascination, wondering if he had been born with that stare or if it were something he'd developed over time. There were times the young sheriff fully expected to see the man burn a hole in whoever he was staring at. Tiny licked his lips, then swallowed again, then cleared his throat. He was shifting his weight from one foot to the other and couldn't quite decide what to do with his hands. They clenched at his sides, then went to his hips, behind his back, into his pockets, and back down to his sides. He was a stout man, but those unholy green eyes made him feel smaller than Billy Travis. And still Chris stared. "There's something you need to tell me?" he asked softly, but without a trace of gentleness. Tiny shuddered at that tone. Filled with ice it was, and shot through with menace. He'd heard it a number of times, and usually just before somebody got shot. "I swear I locked up last night," he finally blurted out. "But they got in, damn horse thieves. Hell, who'd have thought they'd be that bold? But they got in and they took him. Please, sweet Jesus, please," he almost sobbed, clutching frantically at Chris's arm. "Please don't let him kill me." Chris stared down at the hand, then lifted his gaze back to Tiny's face. "I don't know who he is," he said quietly. "But I don't think right now he's your biggest problem." Tiny immediately let go and stepped back, but his eyes remained frantic, his long-haired head shaking, his bearded face a mask of outright terror. "I know how he feels about that goddamn horse," he gasped, his normally even voice quivering and cracking. "And I know what he can do. Seen him do it. Jesus, Mr. Larrabee," he groaned, almost sick with anguish. "I'd never let anything happen to Peso. You know I wouldn't." The words hit Chris like a shot, snapped his head up and whipped him around to face J.D. "What?" he spat through clenched teeth, green eyes glittering in his savage face. J.D. stepped back instinctively, swallowing hard before that murderous stare. It's Peso," he stammered. "He's gone. Stolen." "Shit," Chris hissed, pushing past the boy and running into the stable. Once inside, he stopped, his eyes widening as he saw the destruction left in the wake of a clearly hellacious fight. Then his gaze flew to the empty stall where Peso should have stood, took in the shattered door, and a hard, hot wave of fury erupted through him. "God damn it," he snarled, stalking forward and hoping against hope there had been some enormous, incredible mistake. Peso was a born troublemaker. Maybe he'd just kicked through and wandered off. If any horse could do it, it would be that big hammer-headed black. And God knew it was like Peso to smash whatever got in his way. J.D. raced inside, his eyes wide, his heart hammering wildly in his chest. I've already looked, Chris, he gasped. He ain't anywhere. Ain't in the corral outside. Ain't in none of the other stables. Ain't hitched anywhere in town. Ain't even wandered around loose. Chris narrowed his eyes, scowling murderously. You checked the drover's palace, he asked, of the fancy restaurant favored by the wealthy ranches of the area. Last time that goddamn mule got loose, he wandered in there. Seems to like the flowers they keep on the tables. He sure ate enough of them. I checked, but I'll check again. J.D. suddenly chuckled. Now you're doing it. Chris turned and leveled his glare at J.D. What? The boy cleared his throat and sobered at once. You called Peso a mule. Now Vin's got you doing it. Chris clenched his teeth. Go check the goddamn restaurant. Sure thing. J.D. whirled around and sped away. When the sheriff was gone, Chris fell against a nearby post and hung his head, closing his eyes. Shit. Shit. Shit, 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 shit. Something wrong, pard? Buck asked as he entered the livery, returning from his night on the range and leading his gray. Tiny's outside, looking like he can't decide whether to puke or cry. J.D.'s running down the street like his feet are on fire. And here you are, looking like you got a gut full of nails. Shit, he drawled in amazement, suddenly noticing the destruction about him. You boys tie one on after I left last night? Chris never raised his head, never opened his eyes. Take a look behind me, Buck, he ordered quietly, and tell me what you see. Wilmington lifted his brows at the strange request, but knew better than to ask any questions when Larrabee used that tone. Frowning in concentration, he stepped up to Chris and swept his gaze over the appointed area, utterly bewildered. Well, let's see, he said slowly. I see stalls. Any of them not look right to you? Chris prompted softly. Buck tilted his head to one side, then to the other, then turned to one side to use his peripheral vision. Door's been bashed in real good, he ventured. God damn it, Buck, Chris snarled, whipping around and pointing at the stall. It's empty. Buck licked his lips and slowly and nodded. Yep, she is that part, he frowned at Chris. I take it there's supposed to be something in it? Yes, Chris hissed. Big black gilding with a white blaze stands about so high. He raised his hand accordingly. And is the meanest son of a bitch and horse this side of hell. Sound familiar? Oh, shit, yeah, Buck breathed as realization dawned. This is Peso's stall. Ah, hell, he groaned. Don't tell me. Damn horse kicked down the door and wandered off. Hell, ain't that just like him? I swear if that animal found himself shoulder high in clover, he'd go looking for a desert just to be contrary. That damn horse is more wanderlust than Vin. His blue eyes lit up as an idea hit. Say, anybody check the drover's palace? He sure seemed to like Miss Beatrice's pecan pie the last time he was there. He laughed aloud at the memory of the last time Peso had gotten loose. Thought he was going to give that son of a bitch James a heart attack, just moseying up to his table and eating the pie right off of that bastard's plate. He slapped his thigh, still crowing with delight. If I didn't know better, I'd swear old Vin put him up to that one. Chris merely stared up at Buck in helpless, frustrated silence, unable to even manage a decent threat. Or how about Ms. Doyle's laundry? Buck continued helpfully, ignoring the storm warning in Chris's eyes. I seem to recall Peso's getting loose once and just running plumb through all her wash tubs. He laughed again and shook his head. Hell, that time I thought Vin was going to have a heart failure. Ain't ever seen that boy turn quite that shade of red before. It was 2 months before he could bring himself to take his clothes to Ms. Doyle's for washing. And even then, it was all he could do to speak to her. Thought he was going to choke on his own tongue. He looked again at the shattered door and whistled under his breath. Still, even for Peso, this is impressive. Guess he just got tired of picking all them locks Tiny has to devise for him. He's not there, J.D. reported breathlessly, running back to the livery. I checked the drover's palace, the hotel, the saloon. By the way, Inez said if Peso comes in there, he's supper for the drunks. He stopped the two older men and stared up at them. So what are we going to tell Vin? Buck looked from Chris to J.D. and back to Larrabee, frowning in confusion. And just exactly what are we telling Vin? Geez, Chris, didn't you tell him? J.D. asked incredulously. Peso's been stolen, Buck. The rustlers we've been after, they got on last night, took off with Peso, and Tiny's about ready to cut his own throat just to keep Vin from doing it. Well, hold hard there, son, Buck said with a laugh, raising his big hands. What do you mean Peso's been stolen? Who the hell would steal him? Should who the hell could steal him? Without losing a few body parts, that is. Take a look around, Buck, Chris said quietly. He's gone. Well, yeah, but... Buck stared at Chris in utter disbelief. Who the hell would steal Peso? Peso's a fine horse, J.D. said hotly, one of approximately two men in the world to have a fondness for the gelding. Hell, he can go nearly forever without water. So can a cactus, son, Buck put in. Don't mean I want to ride one. He knows what Vin wants without Vin having to say a word. Knows it, yeah. It ignores it, Buck countered. You just don't appreciate him, J.D. sulked. Buck sighed heavily. Son, I appreciate the hell out of Peso. I just don't like him. You don't have to like him, Chris said tersely. He's Vin's, and that's what's important. And now we got to tell Vin he's gone. Shit, Buck groaned, letting his head fall forward as dread coursed through him. He knew how the prickly tracker felt about his even pricklier horse, and truly didn't want to see Tanner's face when he heard the horse had been stolen. Vin wasn't a man for possessions, didn't have more than he could stash in that beat-up old wagon. But what he did have, he prized, and there was nothing dearer to his heart than hell-spawned, rattlesnake-tempered horse. Maybe I should tell him, J.D. volunteered softly. I mean, I'm the sheriff. Delivering bad news is sort of my job. He nodded decisively, bracing himself for the unpleasant task. I'll go on up to his room. Wait, J.D., Chris said, reaching out to grab the young man's arm before he could leave. Don't wake him. Let him sleep. Meanwhile, you check around, see if anybody heard or saw anything. He glanced around him again. It's clear he put up a hell of a fight in here. I can't imagine him leaving town without a ruckus. Buck chuckled quietly. Hell, maybe we ought to start looking for body parts. Chris shot him a murderous glare. Peso had been stolen right out from under their noses, and Buck was making jokes. Clearly the big man didn't quite grasp the whole picture here. Peso was gone, and Tanner was going to take scalps. Vin made his way slowly down the boardwalk toward the saloon, wincing deeply as pain accompanied each reluctant step. Every bruised, pulled, wrenched, and otherwise abused muscle in his body had stiffened overnight, and now vehemently protested being made to function, while his cracked ribs ached fiercely and a deep hurt throbbed mercilessly in his lower back and left hip. Goddamn son of a bitch and horse would die, if only it wouldn't hurt so much to pull his gun. At long last he reached the saloon and went within, intensely relieved to find it empty. He supposed it was still too early for most folks to be about, and was grateful for that small mercy. Otherwise, some damn fool would surely ask him how he was doing this fine morning, and he'd have to shoot him. And really, he didn't want to pull his gun. He limped toward the table where the seven customarily occupied, absently pressing a hand to his lower back as the pain there grew steadily worse. By the time he reached the table and eased himself into his usual chair, he was white-faced and breathing fast and shallow through tightly clenched teeth. Unable to do any more, he simply folded his arms upon the table and laid his throbbing head down upon them, praying Nathan would appear soon and force one of his potions or even some laudanum down him. Not that it'd take much forcing just now. Inez emerged from the kitchen, coffee pot in hand, and stopped short at the sight of the figure slumped over the table. Immediately, sympathy flooded her lovely face and soul, for she remembered how he'd looked yesterday and could well imagine how he felt now. Pobrecito, she murmured tenderly, never thinking it strange that she should refer to the tough, quiet, deadly Texan as poor little one. Every man she knew had a little boy inside him, and this little boy was in pain. Taking a cup from the end of the bar, she carried it and the pot of freshly brewed coffee to his table, careful to scuff her sandals against the floor to alert him to her approach. She had no real fear that he'd shoot her, was far more concerned that he not make any sudden violent moves that might cause him more pain. Hola, Vin, she greeted quietly, not wasting a buenos dias on the man, for whom el dia clearly was not bueno. Coffee? He forced himself to lift his head from his arms and sat slowly upright, groaning softly as the movement jarred his back, his ribs. Hell is everything. Lord God, his head hurt. You say something, Inez? She sighed and frowned at the whiteness around his eyes, the tightness around his mouth. Yes, I did. I said hello and asked if you want coffee. Why are you not in bed? She asked with a touch of sharpness. He cradled his aching head in one hand. Couldn't sleep no more, he said tiredly. his drawl thicker and his voice raspier than usual. Bed's too soft, room's too small. Had to get up and out. She sighed again and shook her head, wondering why these men weren't dead by now. Not one of them had the sense to give in to pain and simply let himself be hurt. Vin squinted up at her in the pot she held. That coffee? She arched a dark brow at him. Would I have asked you if you wanted coffee if I didn't have any? She asked sternly. A soft blush crept into his cheeks and her irritation vanished. Yes, she said more gently, this is coffee. And I have some of the pan dulce you like so much in the back. She laughed softly as a small, shy grin curved slowly about his mouth at her mention of the sweetbread. I know I don't have to ask if you want any, she winked. I'll be right back. His blush deepened at her wink, and he ducked his head as she tossed her dark head and walked away with full hips swaying lightly as she sashayed across the barroom. He knew her flirting was innocent, meant only that she considered him friend enough to tease, yet it still always left him tongue-tied. He had none of Ezra's silky manners, none of Buck's smooth charm, and was far more accustomed to being shot at by bad hombres than flirted with by beautiful women. A bullet he could take, but he couldn't for the life of him think what to do with a wink or a soft smile, especially not with his head pound and fit to bust. By the time Inez returned to the table, he'd finished one cup of her strong hot coffee and was pouring another. She set the plate of sweetbreads down before him and frowned at the lines of pain etched so deeply into his bruised face, but knew better than to say anything. If she fussed, he'd only get angry and leave, and as long as he was here, he wouldn't be doing anything to aggravate his injuries or his friends. So without a word, with nothing more than a resigned sigh and a knowing shake of her head, she turned away and left him to his breakfast. Men. I tell you, Chris, it just don't make sense, J.D. insisted as he pushed through the batwing doors, followed closely by Larrabee and Wilmington. It ain't like 'em. They ain't never hit tent in town before, and they always take more than just one horse. It don't make sense. Oh, I'll grant you that, Buck laughed. But what don't make no sense is why they'd take that horse. Who the hell'd want him? Except maybe the hide and tallow men. Shit, Chris said softly, coming to an abrupt stop. His gaze went at once to the lone figure seated at their usual table, and his stomach knotted in dread. Buck stopped and followed his friend's gaze with his own, staring at Vin in surprise. Now just what the hell is he doing here? Chris's green eyes narrowed and hardened, his mouth tightened into a thin line. By all rights, Tanner should still be in bed. Hell, by all rights, he should be in Nathan's clinic. I knew it, Buck breathed, shaking his head. I knew we should have had Nathan dose him with laudanum. Hell, we should have just tied him down. He'd only chew through the ropes, Chris said in a low voice. Come on, he directed, starting forward. Let's get this over with. Buck reached out and grabbed his arm. Now? He asked in sharp alarm. Chris stopped, turned, and stared down at the hand that held him, then up into Wilmington's eyes. You know a better time? Buck gave a weak grin. Well, now that maybe if we wait a bit, he'll turn up. You know, after he's stomped on and eaten whatever fool took him. Or maybe they'll just bring him back and throw themselves on our mercy. The green eyes narrowed a fraction further. Buck's smile wavered, and he released Larrabee's arms. All right, maybe not, but, he cast a desperate glance around the saloon. You boys go on. I gotta go back. Don't make me shoot you, Buck, Chris warned. I ain't in the mood for a funeral. Wilmington grimaced deeply. Then you better get in the mood, old pard, because when Vin hears what happens, somebody's gonna die. Man's got a right to know about his horse, Buck, J.D. said firmly, staring up at the big man. This is Peso we're talking about. I know you don't like him, but that don't matter. He's Vin's horse, and he's gone, and Vin's got a right to know. And I suppose you're just going to mosey on up to him and tell him, that right? J.D. drew himself up to his full height and inclined his head, sticking his thumbs into his gun belt. As his gaze bored steadily into Buck's, he said firmly, Yeah, I am. Vin ain't ever shirked his responsibility to any of us, and I don't figure we should shirk ours to him, not and call ourselves his friends. Chris smiled tightly as he saw the boy's words strike home. Buck's body stiffened and his head lifted, his eyes widening in surprise, but no appeal to Wilmington's strong notion of friendship ever went in vain, and Larrabee had to admire J.D. for his shrewdness. The boy was learning fast. That was a low blow, son. Buck groused, starting toward the table. J.D. grinned as he fell into step beside his friend. Like Chris said, low's the best place to aim with you, he retorted. Buck scowled deeply, and J.D.'s grin widened. Shaking his head at the familiar banter erupting between the two, Chris stepped around and lengthened his stride, making his way to the table. Finn's head lifted at the sound of his spurs, and Larrabee winced at the dark bruises surrounding the bullet crease in the tracker's temple and discoloring the left side of his face from cheekbone to jaw and back, almost to his ear. Damn, that's gotta hurt, he thought with a flash of sympathy. Finn nodded slightly in his customary greeting and invitation, and watched as Larrabee settled himself into the chair at his right. Immediately, his every instinct was on sharp alert, his hackles rising. Something in the gunman's expression, in his posture, some infinitesimal shadow in the green eyes, warned him of trouble. He sat up slowly, ignoring the pull at sore, stiff muscles, and slid his hands from the table to his lap, within easy reach of his gun. J.D. and Buck sat down across from him, but he barely gave them a glance. His whole attention was riveted to Larrabee. Chris saw that wariness, the intense watchfulness of both hunter and hunted come over his friend, and he knew better than to skirt around or soften the truth. Finn would see through it in a minute and scorn the effort. The tracker-like unpleasantness served hard and direct. It was the only way he knew. "Peso's gone," he said in clipped, low tones, holding Vin's gaze with his own. "Stolen from the livery. Horse thieves must have got him in the night." The words hit Tanner like a blow, driving the air from his lungs in a hard, painful rush. Stunned eyes grew wide, and all the color drained from his bruised face. He stared at Chris in shocked disbelief, his mind refusing to accept what his ears had just heard. Nah, it couldn't be true. Chris felt a sharp stab of pain and a hard twist of fury at the younger man's expression. Tanner had already had far too much taken from him in a life filled to the brim with loss. His family, his youth, his innocence, his good name. And just when it seemed maybe the world was through stomping on his soul, some low-down thieving son of a bitch had stolen what he loved most in this world. And now Chris had to sit here while his best friend looked at him like he'd been gut shot. J.D. stared from Tanner to Larrabee and back, wanting desperately to say something, but unable to manage a single word. He'd expected any number of reactions from Vin. Disbelief, denial, even murderous rage, but was not at all prepared for the raw, searing anguish he saw in the wide blue eyes. He almost expected Vin to cry out from the pain until he remembered that the more Tanner hurt, the quieter he got. And from the way he looked now, white-faced and bowed over from the hurt, J.D. figured the tracker couldn't say a word if he tried. Chris sighed heavily and reached out to lay a hand on his friend's arm. "Vin." But Tanner eluded the grasp and rose so abruptly to his feet that his chair fell over behind him. He stood there for long moments, staring strickenly at Chris, lean body taut and trembling, eyes filled with pain beyond description. Then without a word, he fled the table, limping away from his friends with a speed that defied his injuries, burying all awareness of physical hurt in his need to see the truth for himself. Buck watched him go, then sighed and bowed his head, shaking it slowly. He didn't like Peso, couldn't understand why in a town full of horses someone would choose to steal that one. But like J.D. had said, none of that mattered now. What did matter was that Vin was his friend, and his friend was hurting, and Buck Wilmington hated few things in life more than seeing a friend in pain. "Jesus," he breathed, "this ain't no way to start the day." "What do you think he's going to do?" J.D. asked quietly, his hazel eyes filled with worry. Chris reached for a piece of the sweetbread and began tearing it to bits. He never ate a bite, just ruthlessly shredded it with long fingers. "He's going to go down to the livery, look around, see if he can pick up their tracks." He could see it as clearly as if it were unfolding before him. "And he will, because he won't stop until he does." And then, J.D. prompted, fairly certain he knew the answer, but needing to hear it from Larrabee's lips. And then, having destroyed one piece of sweetbread, Chris reached for and started on another. "He's going to get a horse, drag his hurt, sorry ass into the saddle, and take off after the bastards who stole Peso. And when he catches him, and he will catch him," he scowled and threw down the remains of the bread, "because he won't stop until he does, they'll be lucky if he leaves enough for the buzzards to eat." J.D. blanched and swallowed hard, then nodded. He'd figured as much. "He ain't no shape for that, Chris," Buck pointed out quietly, "and you know it. You gotta stop him before he ends up really hurt." Chris leveled a cold green stare at the big man, sharing his concern, but knowing how futile it was. "Stop him how, Buck? Rope and hog tie him? Drug him? Shoot him? 'Cause it'd take one or all of those to do it, and you know it." Buck sighed heavily and ran a hand over his face, smoothing his thick, dark mustache. "Yeah, I know it," he muttered, "but I sure as hell don't like it. And where the hell are you going?" he asked sharply as J.D. rose to his feet. "I'm going to help Vin. Where do you think?" He stared at the two older men in expectation. "Well, you're not going to just sit there all day, are you? Peso's missing and Vin's hurt. He needs our help." "Just sit down, son," Buck ordered. "Ain't nobody going nowhere. Not till we figured out just what the hell's going on here." J.D. set his hands on his hips and stared down at the man impatiently. "And you're going to do that by sitting here?" he asked sharply. "In case you ain't noticed, Buck, Peso ain't in this saloon, and we're not going to find him by staying here, and Vin ain't going to be able to do anything without our help." "I don't know, J.D.," Chris put in softly, green eyes narrowing in thought. "Maybe we need to let Vin see for himself that he can't do this. It's the only way..."
"He won't see that, and you know it," J.D. interrupted.
"You said it yourself. He won't give up until he gets Peso back. He'll do whatever it takes, whatever he has to, no matter how much it hurts, just like he always does." When they still made no move to join him, he kicked angrily at his chair. "I cannot believe you guys," he snapped, staring accusingly at the two. "Vin needs your help, and you're sitting here hoping he fails. Hell, I know neither one of you guys give a damn about Peso, but Vin's your friend, and that ought to mean something." His eyes burned with outrage, and his mouth curled into a bitter sneer. "Well, hell," he spat, "I guess this won't be the first time Vin's been let down." "That's enough, J.D.," Buck warned in a low voice, seeing the familiar tightening of Chris's mouth, the familiar hardening of his eyes. "You just sit down now." "Damn it, Buck, I won't," he shouted, turning a blazing gaze on the big man. "Maybe you are worried about Vin, or maybe you just don't care that Peso's gone. I don't know, and I don't care. But what I do know is that Vin's going to do this with or without you." He straightened and shook his head, scowling in disgust and disappointment. "Fine, you two sit here all damn day and feel as sorry for Vin as you want. But I'm going to go help him, because I figure that's what a friend should do. At least," he cast a scathing glare at Larrabee, "I know that's what Vin would do for any one of us." He turned and stalked furiously away from the table, leaving an almost visible trail of anger and a thick, taut silence in his wake. When J.D. had gone, Buck frowned and held out his arms, studying them intently. When he'd surveyed every inch of them, he sat back and looked over the still more of his body. "What the hell are you doing?" Chris rapped out harshly. Buck turned his head and tried to stare over his shoulders and down his back. "Just trying to see if I'm bleeding anywhere from the strips the kid tore out of my hide." Chris sighed heavily, his anger fading. "He did give it to us, didn't he? Both barrels parred. Think he's right?" Buck arched two dark brows. "About what, us hoping Vin realizes he can't do this? Or about it being our place to help him, regardless of what we think?" He sighed heavily. "Yeah, he's right, damn it. I don't want Vin on a horse right now any more than you do. But we both know won't nothing short of a bullet keep him off one. Hell, if he could drag himself back to town yesterday, hurting like he was. He was afraid we wouldn't come looking for him." The words were so softly spoken that Buck almost missed them, then wasn't sure he'd heard them right. "What?" Chris grimaced and bowed his head, then raised it and looked sadly at Buck. "He was afraid we wouldn't come looking for him," he said again, his voice and eyes filled with pain. "That's why he dragged himself back to town in that shape." He winced and ran a hand over his forehead, then through his hair. It hurt just to say the words. "He hasn't had anybody who's cared enough to come looking for him since he was a kid. He's gotten used to doing all these things for himself, no matter how much it hurts, because there's never been anybody else." He shrugged and stared down at the sweetbread he'd shredded. "Yesterday he was just doing what he's always done, because he's still afraid nobody will take care enough to help." "Jesus," Buck whispered strickenly, staring at Larrabee in shock and sorrow. "He tell you that?" Chris stared at the table. "I's taking care of myself long before I ever met up with you, and I'll be taking care of myself long after you're gone. You hear me, Larrabee? I don't fucking need you." The angry words came to him again, along with all the pain and fear that had lain beneath them. "Yeah," he breathed at last. "I guess you could say you told me that." "And all we're doing by sitting here is proving him right," Buck muttered. "God damn it, why can't that boy just ask for help like any normal person?" Chris shrugged. "When you're told no often enough, after a while you just quit asking. A smart man only sets himself up to be let down so many times, and I figure Vin's smarter than most when it comes to that. Learned his lesson real young, and he learned it real good." He rose to his feet and stared down at Buck. "Came real close to learning it again from us." Buck got to his feet and followed his friend away from the table. As they reached the doors and pushed through them, a sudden chuckle escaped him. "What's so damn funny?" Chris growled. Buck laughed again and clapped a big hand to Larrabee's back. "Us, pard. Us old dogs got showed up by that young pup." At Larrabee's confused look, he said, "We would have sat here all damn day and never figured it out. You, who knows Vin better than anybody, and me, who knows him well enough. And we didn't get it. But J.D. got it without trying, and he usually understands Vin about as well as Josiah speaks Chinese. You want to explain that to me, pard?" "Yeah," Chris said softly, glaring at his grinning friend. "It means I'm probably going to have to shoot somebody before this damn day is over." The story is continuing in Chapter 5.